Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ken Jones, Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
Kim Jones here with you on The Fan till 7 p.m. I've never been more excited about a guest, never been more excited because my friend, my colleague, Hall of Fame quarterback, and an awesome, awesome human being, Kurt Warner, joins me now. Kurt, how are you? And thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm good. Just been a busy week with Thanksgiving and going to Nebraska to see my son play.
Nice.
And now back to L.A. For Sunday morning. And then over to Seattle for Monday night. So it's
wow.
A busy weekend, but it's a fun weekend. As you know, this time of year is awesome in the NFL.
It is, and we'll see you and the fellas on NFL Network tomorrow beginning at 9 Eastern. I'll chime in with a few reports during the day from MetLife Stadium with the Packers and the Giants. I guess let's start there, Kurt, since I mentioned the Giants. What do you see, and I know that you keep in touch with these young quarterbacks to some degree. You know them, you speak to them. I'm guessing if they're willing, you counsel them because that's kind of who you are. What do you see in Daniel Jones?
You know, I mean, I'm seeing, you know, what you see with a lot of young quarterbacks is just ups and downs, some good, some bad. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of these young quarterbacks this year. And, you know, the thing is, when you get to the NFL, you see different things every single week. And, you know, that's what's different about the NFL is, you know, you can't really get comfortable going, oh, okay, I'm feeling pretty good after 3 or 4 weeks starting, because now all of a sudden somebody else comes in and they throw something else at you. And then as you get a more of a book on a player, meaning you start to understand what a guy like Daniel Jones or another young quarterback does well, good defensive coordinators say, okay, let's take that away and let's see if he can do those things he doesn't do very well good enough to beat us. And, you know, and that's what I see is I just see a lot of inconsistencies there. There's still some, you know, a lot of good stuff that you see. But I think the biggest thing is always knowing your offense so well that you know as soon as you recognize what a defense is doing, that you could get to the right guy. And then the second part is being able to recognize quickly what a team is doing to you so you can get through your progressions, to get to your reads. And, you know, that's where it's been kind of a bumpy road for Daniel. There's been games where I feel like, oh, he's seeing things pretty well. And then there's other games where I sit there and go, okay, he's not really seeing things, doesn't really understand what he's seeing. And sometimes you got to go through that. And the second time around or third time around, you start to get a feel on how to attack those kind of defenses. And, again, I think there's a very big upside there. But he's going through some growing pains, as a lot of young quarterbacks do.
Kurt, there was a play last week against the Bears, 3rd and 1. It was a pitch to the right of to Saquon. And waiting, he didn't move. He was waiting, were Leonard Floyd, and I believe it was the safety, Eddie Jackson, who had also come up. The play had no chance of being successful, right. And it was not. The Giants have been a little bit murky about how much freedom Daniel has at the line of scrimmage in terms of checking out or into plays. In your opinion, at what point should a quarterback be given that authority by his head coach to check out of what was clearly a terrible play call?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, plays like that, I know exactly what play you're talking about. It's a play we used to call 90 flip, where you kind of fake something inside and then you flip it outside. And, you know, when we used to run that play, we knew what the problem was. The problem was if they had, you know, two guys outside of the tackle,
yep,
you're in trouble. Because, you know, one, you might get to step down once and it's one-on-one with your running back, a guy like Saquon, you feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys out there, you don't feel good about that. And so we either had an automatic check or we actually ran another play, because you saw on that play they had a fullback in.
Fullback dive, yep.
Yeah, we ran a fullback dive to the other direction, where if I saw two guys outside the tackle, I could just turn and hand it to them, because we would block that, because we didn't need to block the backside. It was just
right.
Kind of more of a fooling play.
Yep.
But, you know, I think any quarterback. I mean, a guy like Daniel Jones is smart enough. Now, when you say check out of a play, you know, a lot of times, a lot of teams, what they'll do is they'll give you two play calls in the huddle.
Right.
You know, or they'll let you know, hey, you know, if we call this play and you don't like it, you can check to this. You know, not the entire playbook, not try to figure out what to check to, but, hey, you can go this or this. You know, you see Tom Brady a lot of times, he points to his helmet, like both hands to his helmet. And for us, that's an alert call. It means we call two plays in the huddle and didn't like the first play because of the front or because of the coverage. Now we're just going to alert it to the second play. And so I think, you know, all these quarterbacks that are playing, these young guys, have to have the ability to do that. They've got to be smart enough. If they're playing in the NFL, yep, they've got to be able to read a front or see a safety coming down or knowing or know, like on that flip play, hey, there's two guys outside. I can't run that. I got to get into the other play. You know, so that stuff should be, to me, in every playbook. I mean, just to give you a sense, I coach high school football. And, you know, I've got a son that's a quarterback. He's a sophomore. And we have alert packages. You know, or I tell them, hey, if we get six guys in the box, you alert it to a pass. Or if we get this look, we're gonna check it back to a run the other direction. Right. So I'm having high school quarterbacks do that. So there's no way it's too difficult for these guys that are playing in the NFL.
With Daniel Jones's turnovers, his fumbling in particular, Kurt, there's sort of the idea, yeah, he has to get better at that. That really has to be a priority. Where do you stand on the idea? First of all, he has to get better at it. He just has to. But where do you stand on the idea that naturally that will happen, or is that something he needs to really work to correct?
Well, I mean, I think it's both. Okay. You know, because I'm not big into, I mean, there was times when I was in New York where people said, hey, he's got a fumbling problem. And, you know, I think sometimes you have to look at the nature of how the fumble happened. You know, sometimes guys just get you from the blind side, or yep, sometimes guys just hit the ball, you know, they hit it just right so it comes out of your hand. There's other times where you're holding the ball too long,
yes,
and you're running around trying to make a play and you should just get rid of the football and it becomes a sack fumble. And so I think you have to look at the nature of those things. But even in the course of things, you know, 10, 11, you know, fumbles in the course of a year for a quarterback, I mean, those kind of things happen. And to me, it's not such a huge game changer that, you know, it happens every once in a while to every quarterback. And I don't make a big deal of those things unless, you know, again, unless you can pinpoint over and over again, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. I don't see so much of that with Daniel Jones. I think a lot of them have come as he's trying to buy time and then get the ball out late, you know, and that's always a problem. So I think where you get better as a quarterback is, again, recognizing defenses, understanding where the ball's supposed to go, and getting it out quicker. And that becomes, you know, the answer to a lot of these things. Can you work on having two hands on the football and being more secure with it and all of those things? Of course you can. You know, I even got better as I got later in my career at those things as I worked on them more. But I think that, you know, the biggest thing is know where to go with the football, read it, get the ball out of your hands, and that's going to protect you just as much as doing some of these other drills, you know, and thinking, you know, two hands on the football is going to prevent all fumbles from happening. It doesn't work that way.
That's the voice of Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner joining me, Kim Jones, here on The Fan. Let's switch to the other team in MetLife Stadium, and that's Sam Darnold. Kurt, you know, as you watch Sam this season, he has done something that's very hard to do, maybe especially in a market like this one. He has kind of bounced back mid-season. Now, he had mono, and that's sort of unprecedented as far as we know for an NFL player or quarterback, but he's definitely healthier, playing better. Second-year Sam Darnold, your evaluation would be what right now?
Well, I mean, I like Sam. I think, you know, just as I would say with Daniel Jones, I think there's been a lot of ups and downs. There's yep, been a lot of, you know, good moments and good games where you're just kind of like, oh, man, here we go. You know, this is what we thought coming in, and he's got this potential. I mean, he's so good at throwing on the move and on the run. You know, and then there's been other times where you go, okay, I'm not really sure what he's looking at, what he's thinking, you know, he's getting caught up with too much. But what I think they've done recently is they've simplified things. You know, I watched the game this past week, yep, and they ran a similar concept four or five times throughout the game. And sometimes they had success on it, sometimes they didn't. But you start seeing them doing some of those things where, okay, let's find what Sam does well, Our defense is playing good. They're stopping the run. They're giving us opportunities. We just need to make some plays. And, you know, I think Adam Gase is doing a great job, especially early in games. That's the other thing for young quarterbacks. Early success is so key. Yep. You know, when you come out in a game and you get an easy completion or you get a good drive off the bat, and, you know, they've scored on a number of their first drives here in the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, then everything kind of settles in. And you don't panic, and you don't go, oh, my gosh, we find ourselves down, and now you start pressing. And so I think some of those things they've done better. And Sam's probably got more comfortable in the offense, because when he's comfortable and he knows what he's doing, we know he can sling it. I mean, he can throw it, and he can throw on the move and do some of those things. He's athletic enough. You know, I think the biggest thing is sometimes I would wonder, okay, does he really know what he's looking at or what he's seeing defensively? Because if you don't, it is tough to play in this business if you're trying to play catch up and you're trying to figure it out, you know, as you're dropping back in those 3 or 4 seconds. It's tough to play that way, but they seem to have come into a little bit of a comfort zone with Adam Gase and Sam and the playmakers around him, and they're doing a nice job lately.
When Sam's also had a couple different injuries this year, including his left hand, and at one point Adam Gase told us at a press conference, Kurt, that the adjustment Sam had to make was handing off with both hands. Now, that sounds simple, but for some reason, I think it probably isn't. What do you make of that?
I mean, I think it's all interesting. You know, it's funny because in this day and age, it's the same thing. Like, you know, I go watch my son play in Nebraska, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're in the mode of a lot of these, you know, colleges where everything's in the shotgun mm-hmm. and a lot of zone read stuff. You know, and you get into a 4th and 1, and we're in shotgun running zone reads, and I'm like, get under center and hand the ball off or run it. And they're just not comfortable doing it because they've never done it. And that's the thing that's just so weird to me because, you know, even at the high school level, I start my kids under center, and you've got to learn to take a snap, and you got to learn to take a drop and develop timing. But a lot of these guys don't. Mm-hmm. And so it's a learning curve on things that I look at and go, my gosh, this you know, should be so ingrained in you that it's not even a thought when you get to the NFL level. But again, guys are, you know, talented and athletic. I mean, I remember, you know, 1 year I tore the ligament in my left elbow and I had to hand off both directions with my right hand. You know, it was one of those, I had to kind of turn it backwards.
That sounds painful.
Well, it was painful, but I mean, I had to learn how to hand off, you know, what I would normally hand off with my left arm, I would have to hand off with my right hand. And so, I mean, you know, you have to be able to adjust and learn those things.
Yep.
It's not that complicated when you're talking about taking snaps or handing the ball off, no matter what the you know, the footwork is with that.
I'm curious about a couple different quarterbacks, maybe a question on each, not as opposed to the multiple on the local guys for me. Lamar Jackson, he's awfully fun to watch. Beyond that, what do you see?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, right now you're seeing a guy that is throwing the ball extremely well. And I think that's, you know, really been the most impressive part is I think we all knew he could run the football and that he was special with the ball in his hands. But, I mean, the number of games he's had where he's been so efficient, you know, I had two perfect quarterback ratings. I mean, the other night we called the Monday night game and, you know, we were amazed because at some point he was like 9 for 9, 10 for 10,
yep.
2 or 3 touchdowns. And it wasn't a perfect rating, but you're like, everything he's done has been perfect. So I think the efficiency that he's had throwing the football has really been the difference maker for them, is that teams are so off balance now because, you know, he is finding ways to make just about every single throw. And when they can keep you off balance and when they can have a lead and you don't know what they have to do, I mean, it's just it's been impressive. You know, the question I think is going to be when that one team or two teams catch up and go, okay, we get a lead, we put some pressure on you, we take you out of your run game, and now Lamar has to drop back and throw, similar to what happened against the Chargers last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Can he be that guy? You know, I don't know if he's quite there yet. Hopefully he won't have to be that guy because they're so good in other areas. But being a complimentary piece with the pass game, he's been phenomenal this year, and it has been fun to watch. And it's why I think he has to be the front runner for the MVPs because – he's doing everything well. You know, it's not just, hey, he's electric and he's fun to watch and he's got one of those, you know, great, you know, runs or even a great pass every week. It's the efficiency by which he's playing the game, both in the run game and the pass game, that to me has separated him this year.
Kurt, at the combine with all of those guys, Darnold and Josh Allen, I'll get to him in a second, and Lamar and those guys, and Baker, I remember asking a talent evaluator about Lamar Jackson, and he said, all I know is every game of his I saw, he was the best player on the field. Now, I don't necessarily know we would exactly say that this season, but there certainly are some games where we would say that. And you know what? Good for Lamar, because he's doing it differently. You know, this isn't, it doesn't fit with what everyone says they want in a quarterback, but my goodness, he's doing it at such a high level that I think, unless you just despise the Ravens for some reason, I don't know how you don't feel good for the young man.
No, I mean, I think the amazing part of it is that if you'd have asked any, you know, evaluator, if they were good, you know, if they could take him to their organization and play the way that he's playing this year, meaning, you know, having it set up to run the football and do that stuff and, you know, be a complimentary passer, yep. I think everybody would have said, take this guy number one.
Okay.
I think the issue was, I don't think anybody really thought you could do what the Ravens are doing at this level. You know, and I talked to John Harbaugh. We did one of the games last year, just after Lamar had taken over, and we were kind of talking to John and going, okay, you know, how is this going to work? What's the deal here? And, you know, can you sustain this? Is this something long-term? And he basically looked at us and he goes, if we're going to do this, we've got to go 100%. Mm. We have got to build it around this. We've got to get backup quarterbacks that can run this. You know, it was like, we can't just, you know, kind of go halfway in or dip our toe into this. We got to go all in.
Right.
And, you know, so you look around the league and, you know, people are saying, well, is this going to change the way people evaluate the quarterback position? You know, and I think there's two ways to answer that. First, I don't know if we're going to see another Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Now, we might see some talented quarterbacks, but what Lamar can do running between the tackles and his ability to run in tight spaces is unique. It's not just great speed like a Michael Vick. It's the ability to protect himself and run between the tackles like a running back. And then the second part is, yeah, it sounds good that you go all in on something like this, but do you have an offensive line? Do you have a three tight end set or the ability to block on the edges and do that, you know, flexible stuff that they do run pass-wise, you know, as the Ravens did, going out and getting, you know, two tight ends early in the draft last year. And then, you know, and then they got Gus Edwards and you got Mark Ingram. Two downhill, powerful running backs that can spell each other and allow Lamar to be that speed option off. I mean, it just, it sounds really good, but I just don't know if teams are going to be able to really build it that way or if they're going to be able to find another Lamar Jackson,
right,
in which you're going to see this, you know, duplicated, you know, with three or four teams in the league. I'm fascinated to see because there's some incredible athletes playing quarterback at the college level, but I still don't. I think Lamar Jackson is a rare beast, and if you try to do with somebody else, I don't know if it's going to look quite as good or be quite as effective as what the Ravens are doing.
That was a phenomenal answer, and I really appreciate that. A guy that I feel particularly good for this season, and maybe this week in particular, is Josh Allen in Buffalo, Kurt. I don't know how well you know Josh. He's awesome. I mean, he cannot be more accommodating whenever I happen to be in Orchard Park. He's just terrific to deal with. His teammates absolutely love him. And there's a guy who has done what we're all told is the impossible, Kurt Warner, and that's become a more accurate passer at the NFL level. I believe he's up about 8% from last year. He was only at 52, I think, as a rookie. I think now he's closer to 60. So I'm not saying he's setting the world on fire, but he has become a very capable quarterback and leader for the Bills. I'm wondering what you see.
Yeah, I mean, I think they still are built around what his strengths are, which is what you need to do with the young quarterback, and that's his big arm, you know, trying to make big plays down the field, and then his athleticism. And I think he's still learning how to play the quarterback position, meaning seeing things, reading things, getting the ball out on time, you know, and then some of those technique things. But what you have seen is you've seen growth in those areas. You know, you've seen his ability to see the field a little bit better. You know, so it's not always panic in the pocket, take off and run, try to make a play with your legs. He's making more plays inside the pocket. And that's the thing I think that excites me is that, you know, it's hard for big, tall guys to be consistently accurate. You know, go back and look at the nature of our league forever. and find guys that are 6'5", 6'6", that were really accurate. I think Peyton's about the only guy I can think of because he had a really tight delivery.
Right.
A lot of guys that are longer, it's really hard to be accurate because there's so many moving parts to it.
Okay.
So I don't know if Josh is ever going to be an extremely accurate guy because he's got that big arm and he's a big, long guy. But if he can make those big plays and he can make plays with his legs and he can get more consistent as getting the ball out on time and making some of those plays, you know, what we call layups, you know, the things that you have to make at the NFL level, you couple that with the defense they have, and they're going to have a chance to make some noise. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. I'm not sure they're quite ready this year. Although, you know, you look at the AFC, there's a number of teams that are going to get into the playoffs that you go, there's going to be deficiencies with all of them.
Right.
So not that they can't win a game. I just don't know if they're ready to,
kind
of push the envelope. But, but I just love the fact that when these guys go from year one to year two and you see definitive progress, that's what excites you. And that's what excites me with Josh, because he's a young guy that, again, is just learning the ropes of the position. And to see what they're doing in Buffalo and the progress that he's made, I'm excited to see what he can become, because that's really what the bottom line with these quarterbacks is. They don't come in as finished products. For how long and how many years can you continue to grow? I think that's what always amazed me about a Tom Brady, was that he got better every year. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of really good college quarterbacks, and I've been with some that come to the NFL and they never get better. You know, they kind of hit their ceiling in college. Yep. What you want to know is, can this quarterback grow, whether it's physically, whether it's technique, whether it's mentally? So every year they're kind of adding to what they're capable of doing. And that really becomes the question with all these young guys, is when do they hit their ceiling? Is it year two? Is it year three? Is it year eight? Is it year 10? Because that's what makes the great ones, the ones that continue to grow and get better and learn new things. So they're, you know, the better quarterbacks year 12 than they were year three.
That's Kurt Warner. I'm Kim Jones here on The Fan. Kurt, I know you have a production meeting. I'd like to get to three more, and if you just want to give me a couple words on them, I'm just curious your initial thought, if we can do it that way. Is that okay?
You know, I can't give you a couple words on anything.
I know, but I don't want you late for the production meeting.
No, I'm not good. I still got 10 minutes.
Okay. All right, then I'll go one by one. You're so great. Dwayne Haskins, obviously a lot's going to change this offseason with the Redskins. We don't know how much, but certainly you would think a new head, well, for sure a new head coach. What do you think the Haskins appraisal will be by a new staff that's going to have a high pick and may or may not, frankly, love Dwayne Haskins?
Well, I mean, again, I don't think it's been necessarily a great start for him, but I'm not sure he's surrounded by a lot of talent either. And so, you know, I think that always becomes the hardest part in really gauging these young quarterbacks is, okay, what are they trying to do? What's the talent level around them? And then you got to sit down and get in a room. I think that's always the hardest thing for, like, me as an analyst, is that a lot of times all my analysis comes off of tape. It comes off of, you know, me knowing football, so I can see a concept and go, okay, that guy did the wrong thing. In this concept, I would have gone here against this coverage. But I never really get a chance to sit down with these guys, or at least as much as I would want to, and go, okay, what were you coached to do here? What did you see here? Why did you go there? What would you have done if they did this, or if they took that guy away? And really assess where they are mentally, because I fully believe, outside of a few guys and maybe Lamar Jackson, and, you know, and maybe a Russell Wilson, you have to win this game mentally. Mm-hmm. You've got to make layups. You've got to know what you're doing with the ball. You got to know how to decipher defenses and then attack them based on what your play call is. And so I would really have to sit down with a young quarterback like Dwayne Haskins and just watch film with him.
Okay.
You know, go over plays with him and know what he knows, because all these guys are so talented.
Right.
But the problem is when you watch them play sometimes, I'm like, this guy has no idea what he's doing right now. You know, he doesn't know what he's seeing. And so you try to make it up by looking at your guys and throwing it to an open guy. You will never succeed at this level doing that unless you're a freak talent that can buy a bunch of time and create. You're just never going to survive that way. And so, you know, as I've said about a lot of these young quarterbacks, there's times that I look at them and I go, they don't know what they're doing. You know, they're just trying to survive out there. And that's a bad way to play this game. But, you know, again, it takes everybody time. You know, we were actually just talking the other day, you know, we were talking about Mitch Trubisky. You know, he's going, you know, he'd been in the league 3 years.
That's what
years,
I was just going to ask you about. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And is it time to give up and move on?
Right.
You know, and I went back and looked at some different guys. What would we have said about Brett Favre after 3 years? You know, it was like equal touchdowns to interceptions. You know, you look at Drew Brees. You know, first 3 years, he was average, you know, overall. And then in his fourth year, he kind of became a Pro Bowl guy. And so, you know, again, it's like we want instant success, and this business has become that way because we've seen younger guys have success. But some of these guys, it takes longer for them to become who they're going to be. I mean, Dwayne Haskins starting 1 year in college.
Yeah.
How does that affect? Mitch Trubisky starting 1 year. How does that affect the growth so we know how far away from their ceiling they are? And so that's always the hard part because we ask that question all the time. Oh, is it time to move on? You need to go get a quarterback. And you don't really know, you know, especially if you don't get a chance to sit in a room and find out where these guys are and why they're doing some of the things that they do, and you're just assessing it on film. And so I think with Dwayne Haskins, as with a lot of these guys, if new coaches come in and staff, they got to sit down with them and go, okay, let's talk some ball. You know, show me who you are and what you can be and what you can grasp. Because, you know, one of the narratives with Dwayne out there is that we didn't pick things up very well.
Right.
You know, he didn't put in the work, you know, to learn things. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Okay.
You know, I would want to know that sort of stuff before I would say one way or another, oh, we got to move on, or this guy is my guy for the next 10 years.
Last question for you, Kurt Warner. What do you think of one of your former teams? What do you think of Kyler?
Kyler, I think Kyler has a chance to be really, really special.
Okay.
You know, I've watched him in training camp and I've obviously watched the film. He is a unique thrower of the football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his ability to throw from different platforms and, you know, the big arm and, you know, the ability to buy time and then flip his feet and make accurate throws down the field really excites me. You know, the fact that he's played, you know, this much as a rookie and he's found ways to protect the football. You know, he's not doing stupid things with the football. That excites you.
Yep.
You know, the next part, though, is he's got to learn how to, just like with all these guys, he doesn't see the field extremely well. He doesn't hit a lot of things on time. He makes up for it with special throws.
Mm.
But at some point, and I think he's gotten better throughout the year, getting more comfortable with that, he's got to slow the game down. You know, but once he does that, I mean, he is so elusive. He, like I said, he's a rare thrower of the football that there's not a lot of guys that can make the throws that he makes. With that, he's got to clean up his technique, you know, and it's like a Patrick Mahomes. You watch that guy and you're like, oh my gosh, what this guy does is ridiculous. But even as good as he is, or an Aaron Rodgers, they still get themselves in trouble sometimes because their technique can be bad. Their feet can be in different places, and sometimes they make that throw, but it comes back and hurts them. And Kyler is kind of the same way. And, you know, sometimes wonder these baseball players, because when you play baseball, your feet aren't always lined up to your throw.
Yep.
In football, you really want to try to make your feet lined up to your throw as much as you possibly can. In baseball, you can't always do that because you're running to get a ground ball away from first base and you got to turn and flip it. And so I think sometimes you relegate to some bad habits because you have the ability to do it, but those bad habits can come back and hurt you when you're not playing in a perfect world. And I've seen a little of that with Kyler.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as he slows things down and his technique gets better and he gets more comfortable with what he's seeing, I really do believe he's got a chance to be a really, really special quarterback.
Kurt, you are absolutely fantastic. And I just want to tell the audience, when you were inducted into the Hall of Fame, you and Brenda sent invitations to all of us, myself included, to be in Canton and go to that party and everything else. I'm not in Canton for those ceremonies, so I had to decline because I just wouldn't be there. But no one does that. You and Brenda are wonderful people. This was a great spot, and I thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I love working with you and our communication. So anytime I can help you out, I'm always here.
Thank you so much, Kurt.
All right, Kim. Bye-bye.
That was awesome. I know it went on a while. Paulie didn't even try to make me take a time out. Paul was like, just go. I love that with Paul Rosenberg and Pete Huffman. It's Kim Jones. I'm here till 7. I'm going to go ahead and tell you a little secret. We might have a spot or two to make up. But But at the top of the hour, we will hear from Mike McCann with an update. And we absolutely, the next thing I'm going to do on air, I promise you, is take a bunch of your calls at 877-337-6666.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.